Lord willing, let's get into 1 Corinthians, and we're into the 8th chapter today. And again, praise the Lord. As Brother Paul was encouraged by the Holy Spirit to help these wonderful saints get the church in order, I hope we understand he's speaking to us today. And to begin, I really am led to kind of set the stage again with this chapter 8. We're going to be reading about meals, about food, and how it pertains to our liberty, obviously. But at this time, these Romans and Greeks, again, under this Roman rule, but especially these Corinthians as well, too, that were influenced so much by this, they were a polytheistic group of people, which means that they worshipped many gods. They had a God for everything, and I think you can remember there, Brother Paul, when he was there on Mars Hill, and he gave that wonderful sermon, and the sermon was about the unknown God, because at least they recognized as he was, I was reading that again, it was so sweet, well, you're recognizing that the God that I'm going to give to you today, the one that you don't know about, but praise God that there was those that were those that opened up their hearts to him. So praise the Lord for that. But again, they had a God for everything. And one of the most common things that these people practiced was sacrificing the food that they were going to eat to these various gods. So before they would have a meal, before the meal was ever prepared, they would take that food and they would put it upon an altar. And they would sacrifice, in a sense, or make a prayer for that food to that certain god. And the reason that they did that is because they were very, very superstitious people. They were trying to chase away the evil spirits. And this was going on. And it was going on at such a degree that these Christians that Paul was writing to here, they actually couldn't do really anything in society without coming face to face with that. They really had a dilemma on their hands. Anytime these people would go out to a lunch or a dinner or any type of an occasion, whatever the ceremony was, maybe a wedding, they were going to eat food that was sacrificed to idols. This was a very common thing. It was just done. So this was a dilemma that they had, that how were they supposed to deal with this? And I believe that this wonderful portion of Scripture, as the Lord will bring out tonight, it speaks to us on many different levels. I think the Bible obviously is very clear on many sins. We've been talking about those type of sins. We've been talking about fornication and adultery. It says, thou shalt not murder or steal or do those types of things. The Bible is very, as they say, black and white on those types of things. But the things that start to happen like this, and I think that Christians get in discussions with, are these gray area. Well, is there such thing as really a gray area sin? And I think the Word of God answers that very clearly. The Word says that whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Okay? And I think in this study tonight, I guess where I was going with that was, you know, you'll have people talk about music. Well, should I listen to this certain type of music? Or, you know, I wrote down a couple things. Or to have a glass of wine, is that a sin for me? Or is it not a sin for me? Well, the Bible does say that a little wine is good for the stomach. But then it talks about strong drink as well, too. And you can see how the enemy, again, can try to use these things to confuse us, to trip us up, all of these different items. And what about different movies that people may go watch? Well, all in all, we go back to that same thing, which is whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And in that, brothers and sisters, God gave us a conscience. He gave you a conscience, and we better pay attention to it. Okay? We're all different. I've been here long enough to know we're all different. I've been here long enough to know we're a peculiar people. That God chose the foolish things, and I'm one of those, you know, to confound the wise, see? And it's true, but we're all made different. And that's what's the sweet thing, is the Lord has so sweetly given us that. And I've come to appreciate that very much. So sometimes it's a battle, but the Lord in His faithfulness brings us through. But again, it's that consciousness of God and the conscience that He gives us. We're not to neglect it. We're to pay attention to it. And tonight, one of the things I really was thinking of is basically this is talking about our liberty in Christ. And we understand we have great liberty in Christ, but it's really liberty versus rebellion. And it truly is. Is are we exercising the liberty of love in our life, or are we abusing, in a sense, are we sinning willfully that grace may abound? These are questions, in a sense, that only you before the Lord. See, those are the secret things. They really are. And the Lord does try our hearts, and we need to allow Him to do that. As Brother David said, "Search me, Lord, if there be any wicked way in me." He got to the place where he knew of those obvious things that God dealt with him about in his life. But the precious thing is he finally got to a point in his life. He said, "Lord, you know me better than myself. There's wicked stuff in here that I probably don't even know about. You need to search that in my life." And brothers and sisters, I think we're in that home stretch by the grace of God. We need to be praying like that. We need to be believing the Lord that, "Search me, Lord. Let's get ready," as that sister said, "to meet you in the air. You're coming soon." So again, that conviction is so important. We need to be listening to the Lord. Now, at this time, there were really two different camps. And we've been reading and seeing these two different camps that existed this time, at this time. And they're here today, believe it or not, as far as Christians. There's the legalist camp, the legal beagles, huh? Yes, and they're amongst us today, and we can enter into that, hopefully not. But they live by rules. They live by do's and don'ts. They want it like that, in a sense, because it's something of their effort. It makes them feel good. They've attained something. I was able to say no. The strength was of me. Yes, and we have all experienced that to some way, shape, or form in our life. And we understand if we go the way of the legalist, it will stifle our life with Christ. We'll be stunted. Who hath bewitched you? Galatians tells us very clearly. We do need to allow that liberty to work. But then on the opposite side of the legalist is we have the willful sinner. That's the grace gives me the ticket to do whatever I want. Grace gives me the ticket to do it whenever I want. Don't judge me. Have you ever heard people say that? I did. Don't judge me. Christ forgives me. I'm not perfect. Kind of skating by with that one. You know what I'm saying. Now, we understand all of those things are really true. Christ does love me. I'm not perfect. But it's the state of the heart that's saying that. Am I truly exercising the liberty which is really found in the love of God? Or am I just really being defiant? Am I rebelling against the things that the Lord's trying to do in my life? There's a word, and it's a precious word, that's going to come up a few times tonight. It's called edify. And that's to provoke for spiritual growth. We need to edify ourselves. And by the grace of God, I need to edify you, and you need to edify me. And we need to provoke to love. And that is so important, and I think that is really the main message that's going to come out tonight, that our Christians' liberty in love and understanding. We are free from sin, but we're not free to sin. We are free from sin, but we are not free to sin. Not if we're going to win His best. Okay? So with that, I've always been opening the door for those that need to go. No, I'm just kidding, since we're studying Corinthians. But with that, we'll start now with verse 1. All right. "Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge." And here's the knowledge we have is there aren't any pagan gods. We're free to eat. That's the knowledge. We have that knowledge. Thank God that we have the knowledge. I'm thankful that I eat pork. Praise God. I don't have to eat fish at certain times. I like fish, and I had it today. But on Fridays, I just might have a steak. If I feel like it. Because I realize that it doesn't have to do with meats. I have the freedom. Said slay and eat. Praise God. Don't call anything unclean. That's mine. Amen. Praise God. And I'm so thankful And aren't you thankful that you have that freedom? You should be. Because there's a lot of people that are still bound with that. Okay? That know the Lord as Savior. I'm talking about Christians here. Okay? And this is what this is too. This is talking about Christians. Some that have that freedom, but some that don't. And God is working, obviously, in us. And it's going to be through this love. So again, we all have that knowledge. But it goes on. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity or love edifies. And remember what we said edifies. Edifies is provoking and promoting spiritual growth in one another. So my knowledge, if I don't have love with it, what it's going to do here is this saying is it's going to puff up. So really what we have going on here is self-love versus brotherly love. I can be mature in knowledge, but am I mature in love? Huh? Think about what 1 Corinthians 13 says. I could have all the wisdom. I could have all the faith. I could know everything. I could speak with tongues of men and angels. But if I don't have love, it's profitless. I've missed it. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Very popular scripture and very dear to those that are running the race. And the 15th verse. That's Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love. Now we could have just had speaking the truth and we would have rejoiced and said, well, that's the word of God. But he brings out and specifically says, truth in love. As we know the word of God and as we fall in love with the truth, we know the truth is nothing but love. Isn't that something? But you know what? We're weak. We're a feeble bunch. And he has to remind us, in love. It's only going to work effectually in love. Again, we're not condoning sin out here. But the love helps me to cover the sin, cover my brother's sin, right? That's the spiritual one, all right? And then restore. Then bring in the things that are going to be edifying. Allow the Lord to work in that, not to expose, but to cover, all right? You think of what this society is. It's about exposing everything. There's not much love left in this whole society, and I don't want to enter into that. But it's speaking the truth in love, and it didn't in there. And the reason is that we may grow up into Him in all things. If you want to be a mature Christian, obviously it's going to be truth, but it's going to be truth in love. That's the full maturity. That's the one that's going to grow up to the fullness of a bride that's going to marry Him. She's going to be full of truth. She's going to be full of knowledge of Him. And really that truth and knowledge is His love. That's the epitome of it all. That we would know every dimension of His love, as it tells us there in Ephesians. That I would be filled with all the fullness of God. And the fullness of God is His love. That's His Son. This is what He is getting at. That we would possess and be able to express and give to others and be that outpouring of the love of God. I appreciate and I'm so thankful and glory to God when people say, you are full of love. I am. It thrills my heart. Yep. The lady called me a saint over here today and I said, I really am. Would you like to know why? She says, I'm making sandwiches. I got too much time. But you are. So it was kind of cute. But pray for her. She's a sweetheart. All right. So I think we understand what he's starting us off with. Now, verse 2. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, I like this one, he knoweth nothing. Oh, amen. And I so appreciate it. And I think you've heard me say that about Brother Hill. I'll just inject this real quick. And I was talking to my sweet brother about this. One of the last times we went fishing together, we were up there in Wyoming and we were driving and he was about, I think, 92 or 93. And I was in the back seat with him and he's looking over here at a river that's over here on the side of the side of the road and all. And we're still about a couple hours from where our destination is. And he looks over there and I see these eyes get all big and his son Chubb is driving the car and he says, Chubb! We've got to get to that river. We've got to get there next time we come around. I'm looking at him. And, you know, he didn't really look 92 or 93, but he was getting up there and he was starting to age a little bit. And I remember looking at him and I said, you know, Grandpa, I said, how is it? How are you like that? And I said, I said, I know it's the Lord, but how are you like that? And he says, well, son, I never felt old. I've always felt young. And I said, I appreciate that. But then with the one that really hit me, it just so spoke to me. He turned and he looked at me. He says, never stop learning. Never stop learning. And what he was getting at was the Word of God. Never stop. Never think that you know everything. You can't. You could never exhaust this. 70-some years or whatever it was, whether it was him, Sister Bodie, Brother Copley, the different ones, they could never even touch the surface. But oh my, just a couple of them layers to get down under. Oh, what a treasure. Praise God. So again, this let this speak to you. If any man think that he knows anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. What this is really getting at here is knowledge is a wonderful thing. But in knowledge, get understanding. We need to understand it. This is the application that he's talking about. How to apply the knowledge. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7, it says, wisdom is the principal thing. That's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 7. It says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And with all thy getting or getting of this wisdom, get understanding. Understand what it's for. And it's for love. And here's your answer in verse 3 as we go chapter 8, verse 3 here. Here's the answer. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Apply the knowledge in love. Love is the key to understanding what God has for you. Love is the key to understanding how to apply all this wonderful knowledge that the Lord gives us. If we don't apply it in love, as 1 Corinthians 13, we'll get to there if Jesus tarry, Lord willing, we'll understand that it profits us nothing. That's the only thing that's going to get it done, the love of God. And it gets it done every time. That's why I can stand here by the grace of God and we can talk about, you know, in counseling some of these just such tragic situations, desperate lives. But we've got hope. You know why we've got hope? Because we've got the love of God. And it's for us. And by the grace of God, if you're a child of God tonight, it's in you. You have that. And with the Holy Spirit, it even says that the love of God may be shed abroad in our heart. That means taking over. Getting rid of all of the other excess, nothing, meaningless stuff. And yet the love of God comes to control my life. That's what moves me. That's my motive. Do you have a motive? I do have a motive. By the grace of God, it's His love. That's the motive I want to live. That's how I want to move. That's what I want, by the grace of God, to direct my life. Then I know that I'm in His will. I'm in His will. I'm with Him. I'm in that, again, as He said, that perfect will of God. So praise His name that we can have that. All right. Verse 4. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. Now that's another thing to be thankful of, isn't it? An idol is nothing. There are still people that pray to these things, that have to have these visuals, even Christians I'm talking about. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that they're still thinking of our Lord. But the only visual I need is His wondrous face. And it's right here. That's all I need. Don't need all of these different things. And I encourage you to focus upon the Word of God. Let this make your visual. Let this be your vision. Not necessarily a cross or a candle or all of these different things. And I'm sorry if I'm stepping on your toe in a sense, but I believe God's dealing with us here tonight. We need to be about seeing Jesus. They were excited seeing Moses and Elijah. Oh, let's build an altar for each one, huh? Oh no. It's about Jesus. It's about Him. All right? And until this gets a hold of me, I was talking to a sweet couple ladies today, these sisters, and I believe the Lord is really dealing with this lady's daughter. And it was just sweet. I was just telling her, because there were so many people that have known the Lord in her family for so many years, but there's just been so much failure in the things of God and so much falling away and so much running, basically just turning and running in the world. And I said, well, you know what it is? Because, you know, she was asking me. She says, you know, you're young, but yet you're getting older. And it seems like you've been, by the grace of God, you know, running in the things of the Lord for most of your life. And by the grace of God, I can say yes. And it, again, it's His grace. But why did it get a hold of me? And I told her, you know what it is? You go to church because of a religion, out of duty, out of your making the sacrifice. It's not going to last. There are some people, I guess, that can do it. I don't know. Maybe it's just out of guilt. And I think a lot of religions do that to you. They scare you. Okay? It's because you fall in love with the truth. You just love it. And it becomes so real that you want it for your life. You want it in your life. There will be times, absolutely. There's times that you'll rebel. There's times that you'll want to think that you, oh, I need, you know, I need to go sow my oats or whatever. Maybe you ate some oats. I don't know what you did. Something about the oats. But as the Lord loves you, and it is His love that draws you, if it's really His truth, and truth and love, He'll keep you in it. And it's a precious thing, and you know what I'm talking about. I think on Wednesday nights we have a lot, by the grace of God, of people that are running for God's high calling in His Son. So that's what it's going to be. And I could see it really, well, that is a difference. I've never really had that impressed upon me. You know, church was an emotional experience. Well, I want it to be emotional in a sense, in faith. Yeah, absolutely. That it's real, that it speaks to me, or it's some place to go fellowship. Sure, we want the fellowship. But I want to grow in grace and knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if that's going on in your life, you'll get excited about Jesus Christ. You'll fall in love with Him. It's a fact. It's an absolute promise and it's a truth as we fill our lives with it. So, we know that an idol is nothing in the world. That something that's sacrificed to an idol, it didn't mean anything. You know, I don't know if the guy that was cooking the hamburger that I ate today had taken the meat before he threw it out there and he sacrificed it to an idol. And if he did, it didn't mean anything to me. Right? Right. Because you know why? Because I know those gods don't exist. They might exist here, but they don't exist because what does it say? There is none other God but one. Isn't that wonderful? There's just one. Yes. And if I was God, I think I would just have one too. Wouldn't you? I don't know. But that's the way He set it up. He wasn't going to share it. He's a jealous God. And you know, if you're God, you can do it. I remember being in the business world. Who was the one that made the rules? The one that had the gold. Well, this one's got far more than gold. He's God. And God makes the rules. And He is the only God. And think about these different religions. I'm dealing with a man that's dating a Mormon woman. And I believe she is a Christian. But just so confused with all of these different teachings that, again, is just the enemy. And it is just the enemy. Distorting truths, all of those different things. Oh, there's many gods. And you were a god. And you are a god. This tells me there is but one God. Turn over, and I love this oneness. Let's go back to Ephesians 4, verse 5. Now listen to this. This is this oneness that's in Christ, and I think it's so precious. Well, we know there's one God because the Word just told us that. And now there's only one Lord. And we're going to read who that Lord is here in a minute. And I'll go ahead and take that off. This is our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. There are not two. There's not a Muhammad and a Hindu and a Buddhist and all of these different things. There is one way. There is one Lord. There is one Redeemer. All right? Now, and in that, what I'm saying here is the Word of God tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, there is one Lord and how many faiths? Well, why does, and I even hear Christians say this, well, you're of the so-and-so faith. Oh, or you're of this faith. By the grace of God, you won't hear me say that. And I hope it doesn't even slip. Because it is the Word. And it really is the Word. And it's something that can be compromised very quickly in our life. Those are religions. Many religions. But there's one faith. And it's in one place. And it's in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One baptism. Then it has to remind us again. Verse 6, one God. And Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Amen. Again, speaking to Christians. Remember, who's being spoken to, what's being spoken about, and who's speaking. A lot of people just take that out. Oh, see, God's in everybody. No, he's not. Who's he talking to there in the Ephesians? He's talking to wonderful Christians. High calling of Christ Christians, too. Ones that are right there ready to win his best. Isn't that something? All right. Okay. So we see that there is but one God. Verse 5. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many. And really, take some time. We're going to take some time, because that's such a wonderful portion of Scripture. How could we not read it? Chapter 17 of Acts. Let's go over to that Mars Hill sermon. And let's just read that 22nd and 23rd verse that Paul is speaking to them. This is again Acts chapter 17, verse 22. It said, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. Very similar to what we're talking about here. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with the inscription, to the unknown God. Isn't that something? Whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, it's him I'm going to declare unto you. Isn't that wonderful? Talk about, again, now quickened by the Holy Spirit, obviously, to say that. But what a brilliant man Paul must have been. And aren't you brilliant in the Lord? It's just so wonderful. But I was just thinking, how quick to say that. Oh, yeah, that's the one I need to talk to you about. The one you don't know. You've acknowledged it. So you see how he was kind of agreeing with them in one way. To the Jew, he was becoming the Jew. To the Greek, to the Greek. And we'll read about that, Lord willing, in chapter 9. But Paul wanted to win them souls. And he did. Wasn't in compromising anything. It was again in love, in compassion. Paul didn't come at them with sledgehammers. He came at them with love. Now, let me tell you something. Sometimes there's a tough love too. Oh, yes. And appreciate tough love in your life. Appreciate that better are the wounds of a friend than the kisses of an enemy. You better beware when all men start to speak well of you and give you praise and things of that nature. Yeah. Remember, there's a godly conscience that he gives his people that are truly seeking him. All right. Verse 6. But to us there is but one God. He brings that back out again. The Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I think this is such a precious thing, because you'll get these people in Jesus only. I don't know if you've heard that, but again, it's just Jesus. He really is the God, and there's just the one. No. There's God the Father, there's God the Son, and there's the wonderful Holy Spirit. Yes. And they are as one. And really, the best example I've ever really gotten my whole life is sweet Brother Hill, as he used to bring out the finger. It's one finger, but it's got three very distinct joints, and they're very separate. But this finger can't move or do anything unless all three of those are in unison to do it. It's true. So, again, we have God the Father, we have our wonderful Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we have that Holy Spirit that's fulfilling so much of our wonderful Lord in us today. All right. So, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and again, he made it all. All things consist and hold together because of him. Without him, nothing was made. Oh, yes, we understand that. But I love this little last part. We're going to venture off just for a moment in this, because I think Brother Schofield was even touching upon something that I don't know. Only the Lord and him know if he ever saw. And we by him. So we're by him. Okay? We know in the Word of God it says that we're his workmanship. Right? Well, it's so sweet. In Revelation chapter 5, turn over there. And I don't think we've been away from Revelation so long that by the grace of God, he can't bring this back to our remembrance. And I hope it's still there and that the Lord has ingrained it in us and I guess upon our heart, engraving that love. But in chapter 5 of Revelation, if we start reading from the 8th verse, it says, "And when he had taken the book," this is our wonderful Lord, "the four beasts," or the four living ones, representing the overcomers, the ones that will be ready, the bridal saints, the four beasts represent the bridal saints, the overcomers of the New Testament time, and the 24 elders, those are the overcomers in the Old Testament time, "fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof. For Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And again, so many people think that these are just spirits or angels. Well, these are redeemed ones, and they're out of every kindred, tongue, and nation. These are people. These are human beings by the grace of God. I hope I'm reading about myself. How about you? Huh? Amen. 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 But here it is, verse 10. "And hast made us," we're His workmanship, He has made us, "unto our God kings and priests." So again, looking at that wonderful verse, "and we by Him." Now follow me on to verse 7 here in the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Let's go back to our text. So it says, "And we by Him," at the end of 6, "howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge." And again, this man that he's talking about here is obviously saved ones. These are the ones that know the Lord. I think that there is a real underlying message there that, you know, there's a lot of them that are asleep. There's a lot of babes. And they don't really understand. We by Him. And I pray that God continue to raise me up in that maturity to know what I am by Him, what I can be by Him, what I can attain by Him. And up to half of that kingdom by Him is sounding awfully good tonight, isn't it? Praise God. All right. But going on, "howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge." So again, going back to the thought of this sacrificing to idols, this that it doesn't mean anything because there's no other gods but our wonderful God the Father. But there's some that aren't that mature. They're not free yet. There's still a bondage on them. There's still a problem there with them. "For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol." And this some are these Christians. They're still remembering these things. Remember, when people have come out, and that's one thing I have to understand as well too, and the Lord continues to show me, and that's all always in love. I'm thankful I grew up in this. Praise God. Now, I don't have any more advantage than somebody that didn't grow up in this. I want you to know that. He's not a respecter of persons. But this is what I grew up in. This is what I know. Again, by grace. But then you have people that have grown up in other religions that have come to know the Lord. And I appreciate my dear brother, and I'll say my sweet brother McLam. And as he witnessed to that dear brother in the car that day, and he said, "Son, you have to unlearn it. You have to unlearn it. It has to be unlearned out of your life. If it was ingrained there and you know that it's not in the Word of God, ask Him to remove it. And know why He's removing it. Or even if you don't know, just remove it. But unlearn that out of your life." And this is where he was going with these folks, is they were still bound in that conscience that idol was still in that meat somehow. "And their conscience being weak is defiled." See, the wickedness was still there. And if the conscience is affected, it's a sin. And it is. Okay, let's follow this through. Turn over to Romans chapter 14. Let's let the Word of God give it to us. Romans chapter 14, and we'll start reading in verse 21. "It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak." We better be aware. I think that's very direct. We need to love. We not need, again, and I'm talking because I've been there. And but for the grace of God, I'll go there again. Well, him, I can do this. Are you really having a problem with that? This isn't talking about compromising the truth. I hope you understand that. This is talking about liberty. That's right. And stumbling. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Have it to thyself before God. The Lord, and you know. Praise the Lord. And He'll reveal the things He needs to have revealed. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he allows. Thank God if you're free to eat. Thank God if you're free to do certain things. But again, don't let that turn into a defiant heart or a rebellious heart. Or, well, I'm just free to do this, so here I go doing whatever I'm going to do. And I don't need to name it all, brothers and sisters, because I wouldn't want to do that to you tonight. But I know the Lord is dealing with each and every one of us. All right. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I love that verse because it really, again, assures me how much I need the Lord. And I need Him all the time. Because how quickly am I not in faith? And see, do you see how much you need to know eternal security in your life? That you can never be separated from the love of God? You need to know that. Because if you really know that whatsoever is not of faith is sin, you're entering into sin often. If there really is a day that goes by that I don't enter into sin because I have a lack of faith, I'm just telling you the truth. A doubt, a moment, or whatever. If I really was one of those that believed, well, if I'm in sin and I die at that time, then I'm going to hell. I'm leaving about 50-50. And I would be concerned. I wouldn't drive. You see how silly you could become? I'm telling you, there's people that are caught up into this. Thank God that you're not. And if you're still caught into it, let it go tonight. Let Him give you the freedom now to know that you have that liberty. All right, we need to hurry along. All right. But meat commendeth us not to God. That means it doesn't bring us closer to God. And it answers it right here. For neither if we eat are we better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. So by doing these different things, it doesn't matter. And that's why I'm thankful. Again, God has brought us to that point where I'm free. I'm free. I understand, Lord. You've set me free. You've made me free. It makes me free. All of those things. I am at liberty in you. So, and I was thinking there too in Matthew 25, you might go back and read about those talents. He gives to each of those servants according to their ability. God knows. Remember how we talked about last week about whom He foreknew? He knew the faith. He knew it. He predestinated you then, okay? He gave you those good works, those works that Him and His Son saw before the foundations of the earth that ye should walk in them. All right? So He's given you according to that ability. So rest in it. For if any man see, let's go to verse 10. I'm sorry, we're back in verse 9. But take heed, it says here. Verse 9. But take heed, lest by any means this liberty or this gift that God has given you, because this liberty truly is a gift, I hope you understand that, of yours, that it becomes a stumbling block. And a stumbling block means a spiritual hindrance. I don't want to be a spiritual hindrance to you. As I said, the Lord gave me such a sweet thought and was confirmed with another brother, gave me the sufficient witness, is truly when I speak, someday I pray, and maybe there's moments, I pray that you just wouldn't even see me, just seeing the Lord. You know, I don't want to hinder. I just want the gospel to come forth. I want it to transform us into His very same image. So don't let this liberty of yours become a spiritual hindrance to them that are weak. So again, don't defile the weaker brother. We want to provoke to love. Some cannot handle the liberty. I always remember that a man's got to know his limitation. So as under the Lord, I want to know by His grace, He shows me where I'm weak. And in that weakness, boy, I sure really, really need His strength, don't I? Praise God. And I need to understand that for my brothers and sisters in the Lord, because that's the brotherly love. Those are the Philadelphia saints that are shown as the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want people to know that I'm a Christian because I love you. And it's fervent and it's effectual love. I don't want to hinder your walk. I understand that diamonds cut diamonds. I appreciate that because we all have to, in a sense, get along. But I want to provoke you to love. I don't want to just use that flippantly and say, oh, well, there I was. I got you a good cut that time, didn't I? You still running the race course, huh? And sometimes you don't find them at church anymore. Then how do you feel? See? Don't let the enemy take us down that type of a thing. All right. Verse 10. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple. That means if I see my brother that's sitting there, I need to be aware of that brother. And I need to have a testimony. I need the Lord to give the testimony that that brother needs to have. I'll give you an example, brothers and sisters. Maybe there might be some of us out here that can enjoy a glass of wine at dinner. All right? If we know, or even might suspect, or maybe we don't even know, if that brother or sister might be offended by that, don't have a glass of wine at dinner. Don't do that. I appreciate that you have liberty. I appreciate that God has given you the liberty to do that. If He has, and that's fine. But don't go pushing it on somebody else. You don't know what that might do to them. It's not being legal. It's just the Word of God. It's called love. It's love. All right. I told you chapter 8 wasn't going to be any easier than chapter 7. Wait till we get to chapter 9. No, I just did. All right. Okay. So, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? Because see, what happens is he sees you doing it and he says, oh, well, that's great. You know, if Joey's doing it, you know, if Mikey likes it, remember the cereal thing? Oh, we got to like it, you know, so we're all going to eat it. But see, if my conscience isn't right to partake in that, that's not a faith, and I'm in sin. You see? So, again, rest in the Lord with this. I mean, again, don't let the enemy just take this all different places, but these are just things to be thankful in. Thankful for your freedom. But again, the underlying here is just be about love. Be sensitive to your brother and sister in the Lord, all right? Because I know there's people that'll sit down in this and they'll talk about nothing but this for years and years and years. And then you can just see how that can just entangle. You know, there's simplicity in the gospel, and this is very simple. Let love rule, okay? All right. So we don't want to encourage sin. We want the love of God to constrain us. We understand that. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 12. And I thought we were going to get out of here early tonight. Can you imagine? All right, chapter 6, verse 12 of 1 Corinthians, it says, all things, remember this verse? All things are lawful unto me. That means I have that freedom. Praise God, I am free. I have the liberty in the Lord. But all things are not expedient. That means they're not all profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. And I don't want you to be brought under the power of any just because of my liberty. Do you see the oneness, the unity of the Spirit that he's getting at here? I need to prefer you over me. That's the true love of God. We're of the same body. I don't want to injure my arm. I remember when my brain told me I could lift that weight, and there my muscle tore. You see? I don't want to injure my body, do I? I love this body. I like it feeling well, especially as I get older. It's a very important thing. But it does. It makes me feel good when it feels good. But I don't want to intentionally injure. How much more so the body of Christ? Turn over to 1 Corinthians 10:23. And brothers and sisters, there's so many other verses in this. It's just exciting, again, how it is that line up on line. And God builds that foundation in our life. But this is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. Again, he says here, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. My freedom might not encourage you into spiritual things. It might not promote that, and I need to be aware of that. All right, going on. Verse 11. And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. What this is talking about is just the defeat they fall back into, the pit maybe that they've come out of. Unfortunately, maybe you were used as a tool of the enemy to push them kind of back that way. God forbid. God forbid. We do not want to go there. Love edifies. Love seeks not its own. Actually seeks not her own, but it just doesn't. It's not a selfish thing. Verse 12. But when ye sin against the brethren, and that's sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. That's serious. Now, he has forgiven us. Our sins are as far as the east is from the west. They're in the sea of forgetfulness. We understand all of these things. But this is damaging. We've hurt the body. And he happens to be the head of the body. So he's hurting too. And hurting even more than all of us, because I think all of that, again, I'm not trying to get, we can ask the doctor back here, he's got some wonderful thoughts on a lot of this. But again, it's my mind that tells me anything's hurting. The finger's really not hurting, but it is the finger that's hurt. But this is what's telling me the pain. You know? So that's the hurt that we've done to that body. And I also have to think, I go back to Proverbs 6 there, which says, the things that the Lord hates, he hates those that sow discord among brethren. And this is can be a tool of beginning to sow that discord. And he publicly tells you, I hate it. I hate it. The gossip, the lies, all of those different things. But this is something that can lead to that type of a problem. Wherefore, wrapping it up, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth. Isn't that precious, Paul? He's not giving it up for Lent. He's giving it up for the love of his brother. I don't know. I kind of like ribeye. So, that's right. You might have to find another brother, huh? But that was precious, Paul. He loved them so, and he's telling us this, and he's encouraging us this way. We need to have this compassion. We're to love as Christ loves. That's his love. It's not, well, I'm trying to do the best I can. It's let that love flow through us. Let it change you. Let it transform you. You'll say, oh, I'm not that kind of person. I know you're not that kind of person. I'm not either. But I honestly can attest to, I know what God can do, and I know what he can change, and I know what he's changed in me. And that's a miracle. It's an absolute, flat-out miracle. Lest I make my brother to offend. Prefer one another. Think of one another. And in closing, I want you to turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 4. We'll read this verse and we'll close. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers. Be an example. Stand out in word, in conversation, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I think, Lord, set a watch before my mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Mom used to always tell me that. And it's the truth. A lot of times we think things are funny. We think we have liberty to say things. I think that's what love is, brother, is charity. But I think sometimes when we get into thinking that things might be funny when they offend, I think those are things we really need to think about. I want to love you. I'm not perfect. You're not either. We are going to offend at times. But let's, by the grace of God, trust Him and run well And by the grace of God, run together as we're running well and encourage each other to run and to run well. And that's the beauty of that unity of the Spirit. So praise God. Nita, would you pray for us? Go ahead, honey.